Good evening.
What's up, Earl?
What's good in the hood?
Not much. Just chilling.
We need some pep in our step. Who am I? I'm Sky. I'm Fly. I'm straight out the ATL where the players dwell. Actually, also where the flute is well, too. Shout out to Andre 3000 about to drop a little instrumental situation. And I'm currently in the Wild Wild West, and I'm blessed and fresh. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sales VA, all day, two up, two down. Chilling in Los Angeles. My voice is mostly back. My body's still sore. But we made it. So, I'm here.
Okay, and who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning to moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
And so today we have a special guest for our little special NWSL Championship Weekend recap. And we have the one, the only, the legendary G-Money. George Suarez.
The famous. Oh, there goes the fire truck. Sorry, famous Georgia.
It's starting up. It's getting lit for Georgia.
Is that what it is?
It's your music. Yeah, that's what all it right. is. That was
oh
smooth.
My God.
So, what's good, Georgia? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm drinking coffee right now. That's why I am. So.
Oh my God, that late?
Like we had to record, friend.
So, I know, that's true.
Hi, yeah. Georgia, rep your set. Where are you from?
Okay, so originally I'm from Brazil. I've been living in the US for the past 7 years. I live in Philly right now, so yeah.
Okay, so you go. Do you like have a? I was gonna say, do you throw up some signs? Never mind, just playing. But anywho.
What? No.
What?
You rep your... Okay, yeah, anyway. You rep your flag. Anywho, anyway. So, today, before I get canceled, with Georgia, we're going to recap the NWSL Championship Weekend. And we're going to get the photographer perspective. And my co-host, who was a fan of the other team, fan perspective and a media perspective. Because we have an ORA fan here and a Gotham FC champion here. And then...
Hell yeah.
Oh Lord, here we go.
She said until Philly gets the team. I'm joking.
True. And we're gonna do a little break. Then y'all gonna hear some Media Day audio when Sky Safine was running around. I can't believe I just called myself that. And then we're gonna get some post-game vibes and talk about what happened post-game. And then we're gonna do some rants and raves of the week. Look, I just took my medicine. We out here. We good though. We're gonna talk about the DEI situation that we went to. And then we're going to talk about the skills challenge briefly, the fan fest, what we like to see for next year. And then we're going to get some hits and riffs, championship edition, and preview some stuff for content we got. So are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so let's go. So, I mean, where do we want to start with this championship situation? We want to start the game? When did you get here? When did you get to San Diego, Georgia?
I got to San Diego Saturday morning, a little before the game. When I was supposed to be at the stadium. It was very like chaotic. I was scared my flight was going to get delayed because all of them are getting delayed lately. So, but luckily everything worked out. So I got there around noon and we were at the stadium around like 1:30.
Oh man, so when it was hot, it's shitty.
I mean, for me it was perfect. Like Philly's fucking hell cold right now. So love me some West Coast weather. So that was good.
Word. So, Sills, when did we get to the stadium?
To the stadium or to San Diego?
To the stadium. I mean, we got to San Diego on Thursday.
Yeah, we got into town, so, we were able to do some other stuff we'll talk about later. We got to the stadium around 2:30, something like that.
Yeah, 2:30. We were at the Fan Fest briefly. We will get into that a little bit later, but let's see what so the game. So I guess Georgia, as a photographer, like, were you immediately going to the field? How were you feeling as a fan?
Okay. So like as a fan of like shooting Gotham the whole season, I was very nervous and anxious the whole fucking day leading up to the game. Mm-hmm. So since I was like working for Gotham for this game, I went straight to the field. I didn't have time to like walk around and like see much of the Fan Fest and all the other activities normally the NWSL has for game day. Mm-hmm. So we went straight to the field to get like your bibs and getting ready like my camera stuff and going to the brief of what was gonna happen during the game, like when you like the ceremony was gonna happen, what you're gonna do, when you're gonna allow like media to go to the field or not, where we can be positioned, because there was a lot of rules for this game in specific as a championship, and I feel like they kind of like learn a little bit of the lesson from last year. So there was a lot of stuff going on for the game, so it was more getting all the details that I need to know and know specifically where I was gonna stand for the game. So I didn't have be like in front of any like broadcasts or any like people that I was not supposed to be. So it was a little bit like crazy.
Oh yeah, because I noticed like y'all are all positioned in certain places on the field.
Yeah. So for this year, I feel like they were more specific about that than last year, because I feel like last year the championship was a little more crazy in that aspect. Like they let all the media somehow end up in the field by the end of the game. So for this game, they were more specific about who was going to stay in the field, where they could stay in the field, who could like be close to the podium when they were like giving the medals away and all of the stuff. So there was a lot going on. But I still feel like they didn't execute the same way that you're trying to. But like, it's a step forward, I feel.
Okay. Or it stills. Where were we located?
So we were outside of Fan Fest. We went in, went to the press box, got food. Then we were underneath the broadcast. So yes, we were on like tiered, well, I mean, most of the stadium seats. We were on these like tiered open tables. There were outlets around. So we were behind the, I don't know if that's the north end, whatever in that. I think it was the north end goal. And so, So there are some places I can see very clearly, but we were positioned right under the CBS broadcast.
Word. How are you feeling before the start of the game?
I don't know. I think for me, I just wanted a good game. Those teams had split in the season. I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think the game pretty much played out to prove that. I don't know. Like, I have a hard time remembering now before minute number four.
Let's get into that. So if the game started, but before the game, there was no flyover. There was a lot of, I was surprised with the kaboom. What was that? The fireworks?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fireworks for beginning of the game. I was kind of surprised.
So that's slow.
Yeah. Did that make that difficult to shoot?
For me, no, because the way I was positioned, it actually helped. I took like this amazing picture of Chris Mewis with the fireworks in the back. So for me, that was perfect. But like normally, they don't do as much like fireworks in the beginning of the game as they do like after the final. So I don't know, it was kind of different. But like for me, it was fine.
Word. Oh, and so I was gonna ask. As the game started, you know, it was loud stadium. Y'all right now, you'll hear a little bit of audio of the stadium, whatever. But as the game was starting and it started in the beginning, I did have a question. You were on the near the field, right? For photos, did you like, Georgia, from your opinion of the pitch, did it look cool or was it an interesting situation as was on TV?
So it's funny because like from perspective of watching the game, the same final games, seeing the videos from like, it was crazy. The videos were like insane for that game specific, but being on that field on the day of the same finals, it seems better. But, like, it's completely different for me as a photographer just being walking around the grass than someone running on the grass and, like, playing a full, like, time, like, game. So, like, for me, it was fine. But, like, it was wet because they were, like, wetting the field and stuff like that. But they normally do that. So, like, I can't really say, like, oh, it was different, like, than usual. So, it looked fine until I feel like it wasn't.
Right. So, let's get into it. So, you know, the game's flowing, the crowd's going, you hear the sounds. So, how are we feeling? Then the craziest thing ever happens. Megan Rapinoe, cuts and then goes down. How was that feeling Sills as an OL Reign fan.
I didn't know who it was at first. So, like, I looked over and I saw the general area where it was. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, it's not a brunette. It's the left side of the pitch. Not good. Then I saw Rose walk over because that's always my first fear. And they wouldn't they don't show the replay in the stadium. Like, they don't do that. I learned that at the World Cup. They don't show, like, things that can be red cards or things that, you know, are injuries. So I'm like, who is it? Who is it? Like, online. Everybody's like, it's Pino. And they're on TV and they're like, she's mouthing to Rose. Like, she's done. And I'm like, cool. We're probably not going to win this game. Because more than, like, this being hyped up as, like, Pino and Krieger's last game and all of this other stuff, tactically, that's our best plan. We don't have another one of those. That's why Pino starts. So I was like, oh, okay, well, one, the heart just went out. The stadium got really quiet.
Yeah,
but two, I'm just like, tactically, we're fucked because we don't have another player that can do that stuff. If we did, they'd be starting. So yeah, at that point, it felt very cruel. I saw her laugh, that same laugh that she had after she missed the penalty kick in Australia. And I was like, oh, okay, it's a wrap. She's not coming back in the game. I think so for the next like 10 or 15 minutes, I was just pretty numb. What do you want me to do after that? Like, that was a wrap. To me, that was a wrap. I'm very proud of my team for fighting back and showing resiliency, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to me,
I was boohooing. I was like crying. I don't know if the monthly is coming or something, but I was emotional. But yeah, it was sad. And then I was like, man, look at these freaking divots in the pitch. I mean, we did walk on the pitch after game, and you it didn't look good. And I was a little triggered because I hyperextended my knee in high school on a pitch similar to this. So I can't imagine trying to make cuts. Georgia, how was it for you as a photographer?
So it was kind of like weird and funny because I literally put my head down because I was trying to like transfer like the pictures from before the game, like for then like players walking in. So I was transferring those pictures. So I was looking at my phone because like I saw, because I was in the attacking forgotten. So mm-hmm. I saw the All Arena had a ball. So they were like attacking the other side. So I was like, I'm not even going to bother trying to take pictures because they're too far and like I'm not shooting for All Arena.
Sure.
So I remember they going forward. Literally put my head down, was finishing transferring my photos. When I looked up, I saw Pino down, and I was like, what happened? I was like, wait a minute, what happened? And I was like, okay, maybe she's fine. I looked down again, and I look up, and I saw them, like, signing for the, like, medical staff to come in. And I was like, no. I was like, wait, what happened here? Because I remember they just going forward. I didn't see anyone getting closer to her or anything like that. So I was very confused of, like, what was happening. But when I saw, like, they, like, signing for someone to come in the pitch, I was like, no fucking way. So, like, I knew it, like, something was completely wrong for, like, Pino to be, like, sub in, like, 6 minutes into the game. I was like, that's not good. That's literally not good. Right, so, right. I was, like, I was kind of, like, shocked. I was like, what is happening here?
Right. And it's, like, continued on for a few minutes until there was the phenomenal Midge Purse was on the cook-up tour. So, that happened near you, correct?
Yes. Georgia? Yes. That was, I mean, it's Midge. She was on a journey today.
So, what was that like? Because, like, I could see it develop, and I was like, oh, shit. Oh, she cooked it. She cooked it. Oh, oh.
I mean, yeah. I got pretty lucky because I was in the opposite. Like, I was exactly in front of her. So I was on the opposite side normally where team photographers stay because that was the whole point. They wanted to get like both sides of the attacking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was staying on the left side of the goal where she was. And I just see him like cooking in all these defenders to like make this amazing pass to Lynn. So I was just following her. So like I was able to get all the celebration and all of that. And they literally celebrate like right in front of me. But I had my like zoom lens on. And I just couldn't switch it, like, in time because they were so freaking close. I never expected them to be that close. They were literally, like, hanging on the edge of the barricade. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, you guys need to back away. I was trying to back away as the same way, but we don't have a lot of space. on that stadium. So just trying to like get photos of them all hugging and like jumping each other. Mm-hmm. But that was insane. Like, that was literally insane.
Yeah, the crowd went berserk.
I mean, that whole play of her like passing through all this defender and like giving this amazing pass to Lane was just like, it was Jeff Kiss.
What were you thinking, Sills? When that ISO?
Yeah, it was. I mean, listen, it's very smart tactically. Our weakness is that left side on defense. Like, I think McLaren's improved greatly this year, but that's not her ministry. And so they could have done that and kind of did several times. And that it was very evident, like, that's how they were going to score. Like, they were going to go to Midge every time on that side because she's a phenomenal 1v1 player and dribbler. And there wasn't anybody that was going to stop her, right? Like, the only player in the back line that probably would have is Cook, and that's not her area. So, I mean, it's smart football. Like, and I thought Midge was phenomenal. I couldn't write her name fast enough for the MVP. But, yeah, like, that was very evident. And so unless we had, you know, a Herculean effort on our end, that was going to continue to happen.
Segway.
But we do still have a pretty phenomenal player ourselves.
In who?
The pale Picasso herself, Rose Lavelle.
She's amazing.
What did she do? You gotta tell the people what she did.
My argument is still, and again, they were drafted by the same team at the same time, which is very funny. But to me, when she is healthy, Roosevelt is usually still the best player on the pitch. Like, I just think she does something that no one else really does for us and many other places. And so she just decided this was her team now, with Pino going down, and she absolutely split the defenders for a breakaway goal and was able to put away chances, which has been our bugaboo all year, to draw the game. Which I thought was fair. I think we were in shock for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then we were just like, oh, okay, no, we can still do this. Just get the ball to Rose. And so it was a really perfect pass to her to be able to get on that. And like I said, split, you know, get past that back line and get the ball. And it really wasn't anything Hunt was going to be able to do on that one. And so it was game on.
Word, word, word.
Yeah.
And so, what else happened? We got to the second goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the second goals were more at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Extra time. Yeah. And again, Mitch Purse.
Yeah, Mitch Purse delivering an assist.
And actually, that was the first corner goal that we had, like, for the whole season.
Oh, wow.
Well, my team hasn't been defending set pieces all season, so congratulations.
I mean, yeah. We haven't, like, scored. We haven't. I mean, that was an amazing corner. Like, we haven't, like, done a corner that well the whole season. So, like, I feel like it was a combination of both. But, yeah, the execution was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, that's – it's execution, right? It's taking advantage of the moments. When you get
I mean, it was
them.
Perfect. It was, like, literally on Esther's head. That was
well,
like
and Esther
nothing.
Makes a – I think that's a fairly athletic play from Esther, actually, because she's flying away from goal. I told Courtney, it reminded me of the – I think Simone's is better, but, like, it reminds me of that fadeaway that Simone hit in Seattle that I got to see. Like, that's really, really hard to do, and there's very few players that can hit that particular type of header. And Esther's not as tall. But, again, I also think
– Yeah,
and she can jump. Didn't know that. So – But yeah, we go into halftime 2-1 Gotham. But I think still pretty evenly matched, just sort of, you know, one defensive lapse. And then, you know, we come out, we don't make change. I don't think anybody makes changes at halftime, if I'm mistaken. Yeah.
No.
I actually think we played well. Like, I think Gotham only had like one or two shots on goal in the second half.
I mean, yeah, that goal, that shot on goal that was like post twice.
Yeah, I think both teams hit post at some point. And I mean, the best chance is ours. Like, Rose does evil shit in the midfield. And lays the perfect pass to Veronica Lasco, who's been hitting, has been our goal scorer in the postseason. Yeah. And
that was an amazing pass. I was like literally like holding my breath.
Deserved a goal.
Proper Shemandy too. She read
it
ball.
Yeah, it's a
good,
it's a great save. It could have been a better shot.
I agree. Yeah. Because she was alone. She was literally alone.
Yeah, so
the goalkeeper, like, she could have, like, make it a better decision.
Yeah, it reminded me that she's not actually a natural goal scorer. Because she took it like somebody who isn't. But still has to be saved, right? It's still a 1v1, so I thought Manny Hot was big in the moments that she had to be. But it's pretty much that back and forth, couple of chances here and there. We make a few subs. Oh, there's also that, like, just offside. God bless Jordan Huytema.
Woo, Lord Jesus.
That's in. She doesn't even finish that. Like, it's the story of our season. Like, just, oh, okay, just, we don't finish. We're not efficient. We don't, we're not lethal in the final third. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, because as a championship game, playoffs does, for better or for worse, it heightens whatever your weaknesses are and whatever you're good at, right? And so that finishing shit caught up, right? And the offsidesness caught up too. I will say, I did want Laura to put in Elise Bennett sooner. I know positionally it would have been an issue, but fuck it. Elise can ball, and you needed, so I was frustrated when she finally did come in. She did the stuff you needed to happen earlier to have more goals chances, right? Because you can't just let Elise Bennett just moving through. I mean, I watched Angel City let Elise Bennett score. So you have to, like, deal with her, particularly when stuff clearly wasn't working and everybody was, like, exhausted trying to make stuff work that wasn't working.
I don't disagree. I was screaming for Elise Bennett. Why do you have her if you don't bring her in moments like that? Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought she was going to put her earlier just because she already lost Megan. And I feel like she could have make a little bit more difference, especially because Jazz Fishlock was kind of lost in the midfielder.
Yeah, she didn't have a great game.
Right. Yeah, she was kind of lost, I think, Del Pino there. So I feel like that maybe would have helped a little bit.
Yeah.
I think she wrote.
But I feel like it was a very, like, balanced game. Like, yeah, both teams were playing, both teams had, like, possession of the ball. They were, like, having really good chances. It was very, like, it was up in the air. I feel like second half was more, like, tense than first half, only because I knew that Olorin could have, like, a chance to score, and it would have scored.
I think I've looked at the statistics and it bears it out. Like, that game is really even. It could have gone either way, right? Like, again, I think it's just about taking your chances. And it's about luck, right? Football is a cruel sport, right? The week before, we get a goal that we weren't trying to get on the same pitch and somehow avoid injury when it's worse. And then when it's slightly better, don't. Like I said, my team is resilient. Like, I loved their fight. I have a few minor questions from my coach, but also no one expects Megan Rapinoe to go down that early. And so you can prepare for a lot of things, but I don't think you prepare for that.
Okay. Before we wrap the game up, towards the end, it was chaos. Oh. Look, I was looking for a peak chaos. God. I was ready for penalty kicks, 50 rounds. It. And so it became chaos. Let's talk about that. So right towards the end, or was that extra time? Oh no, I can't even remember.
It was extra time already. She just announced like the 6 minutes for extra time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's when she went to reveal the PK.
Oh, what happened? Can somebody explain what happened that caused damn near PK?
Yeah. So the Reign have a breakaway chance. And Mandy Hot has to make a decision, essentially, because we're scoring that goal in extra time to draw it. And so she stands in the box, but her arms are completely outside of it and touches the ball. As a goalkeeper, you are not allowed to do that. You can only handle the ball inside of the box, sort of your force field, protective area, whatever. And originally the ref didn't call. I don't know if she called it right away.
No, she didn't. I think it was someone, call her attention. Because it was very hard for her to see it because she was literally inside the box. Like, her feet was inside the box. It was just, like, her pushing her hands out of the box. So it's kind of, like, hard depending on the angle that she was standing to, like, really see that particular play.
Yeah. And so VAR comes in and determines that she was, in fact, outside of the box. And so it is a free kick, not a penalty.
Red card.
Yeah, it's a red card automatically. It's a really smart red card because, again, we absolutely score that. For all of the chances we don't make, I think we absolutely score that. And so you get a free kick with Roosevelt, and Gotham has no more substitute windows. They have subs, but not windows to sub in. So Michelle Betos, who's warming up, cannot come into the game.
Right.
The only way Michelle Betos would have been able to come into the game is if it had gone into extra time, because you would have gotten an extra sub. So they have to decide who's going to be the goalkeeper that's on the field. And it ends up being Delaney Sheehan.
No.
Oh, wait. Oh, it was Neely. I'm sorry. It's Neely Martin. Okay. It's Neely Martin. So she literally has to give her her shirt.
Fun fact, she was already a goalkeeper for the last San Diego game in San Diego. The same thing happened. And Yeah, in August 19, she was. Because also got her run out of the subs in.
Yeah, they lost others.
I think they had used all their subs, but they definitely used all their windows.
Yeah, but they used all the subs, but also they got like four players injured on that game. They had to put her in goal. She played goalie like a few times in college, so that was the decision. So they went again for her.
Okay, but Lorraine finally. It takes forever. Lorraine finally takes the free kick, misses. Gets one more chance. Is that the one that hit tall? I don't remember. It was a weird chance. I think it just goes wide. Like, it's wide open. It just goes wide.
Yeah, because I think, like, Rose, her free kick was kind of low, so you hit the wall.
Yeah.
And then it was side throwing ball, and then they had one more chance, and then it was wild, and it was out.
Yeah, so it was truly, for the people who... you know, did the I Want Chaos thing. It definitely was that. But it goes to Gotham in the end, after a lot of extra time, just for everything that happened there in extra time. Score ends 2-1, Gotham, and they are the champions.
How was that feeling?
Okay, so first of all, when we had the red card for Mandy, I already laughed. I was, like, behind the goal, like, shooting there. And I was, like, it was, like, 5 minutes to end the freaking game. So I was, like, walking to the sideline to be closer to the players and the field, like, to catch, like, celebration. Because for me, the game was over. And then we had the freaking red card. So I had, like, changed all my lens on my camera. So I had, like, a small lens to catch more, like, closer celebration, and I was fucking freaking out. I was literally about to cry, because when I saw that, I was like, hell fucking, I was like, no, that's just what's happening to Gotham all the time. Like, in the last minute, this is gonna happen. And like, I thought it was gonna be a PK, because I didn't know for sure, because I didn't see the whole thing until I saw it was a free kick. But it still is a free kick, and we have Rose Lavelle and Lorraine that could totally make the fucking goal. I was literally freaking out. I had my head like low, like sat down, and I even like tweet about that Juan is such a good coach, because he was chill as fuck, and I was like, sir, excuse me, like, we might have to go a correct time because they might score. But he was just literally calm as hell, and I could not understand why he was so calm, because I'm like, okay, I trust like Gotham defense to like do something, but like Nelly is not tall enough. Like, if he rolls, try to, like, hit the top pass, that's it. It's a goal. Like, there's nothing they can do it. They put, like, every single player in the freaking wall, but it's still, they could have a score. So, in my mind, I was, like, just freaking out. So, like, when they Rose hit the free kick and she hit the wall, I was, like, I was, like, I, like, literally start breathing again. I was, like, okay, we might have like a chance of them not scoring anymore, because it literally was like 2 minutes to finish the game. Yeah. So there was not much they can do. Like, Gotham just need to like keep their shit together and keep the ball clean from the box. So when they like the referee, we saw, I was like, thanks freaking God. I remember like freaking out like so much, especially like following the scene from when we were like bottom of the table, seeing the whole transformation around, seeing like all these players wanting this as much as they wanted this year. It's just been amazing. Wait, it's like rewarding.
Right. So how was it taking pictures after the game? Because then everybody can come on the field.
Chaotic. It literally chaotic. I didn't even try to be as close like to the Roto and all of the players like being celebrating together, because there was so many people on the field and I was like, this is not gonna be good, especially taking a picture of everyone like in the background, especially media. Mm-hmm. So I tried to like look for coaching staff and the players that were not on the bench, players are coming on the field and trying to get those reactions, and literally waiting for them to like separate from each other and like walk around the field and trying to get those reactions instead of just trying to everything at once. Because also like Devin was already there doing that as his job, and I was trying to do everything opposite what he was doing, so he didn't catch the same thing.
Right.
But like everything is so fast, like you don't even think, like everything going so fast. It was really fast. They were celebrating, they were already putting the podium on the field, like for them to get the medals. I was like, that was fast. I don't know how many minutes it was, but for me, it felt like 2 minutes from them like winning and getting to the podium.
So what were like your favorite photos post celebration, all that?
Oh my God. That's a few. Like, there's, like, of course, the locker room celebration of them going absolutely wild.
Yeah.
So I had, like, a few of, like, I have, like, a mannequin literally inside of the cooler of the beers. That's, like, one of my absolute favorite pictures, because I think no one expects that from her, because she's so very, like, chill and calm kind of people, like, kind of person. She's very on her own and just very down to earth. And she was going absolutely crazy inside of the locker room. Yeah, she was like partying hard, so she was like, I feel like everything like came together, right? So like getting that picture of her, everyone, even like I remember like even like other players like screaming because no one was expecting that for her. So getting that picture of her was like really good, but also like getting just like then leaving the trophy and me just getting the MVP for the game, those things are like special.
Word. I was gonna say after party. Did you go after party?
Yeah.
It was lit.
I mean, they had two like after parties. Yes. Yeah. So they have like the locker room stuff. They didn't have like two other things going on after the game, which was very chaotic because I feel like there was more space, too many people. They were not supposed to be there. They were there. Yeah, that was a lot of people that were not supposed to be there, and they were there. I don't know how, because we literally stayed in the stadium for like so long, and we ended up getting there when everyone was already there. Uh-huh. And normally they want us to get there before so you can get like the players coming in.
Right.
So when we got there, everyone was already fucking late because they already left the stadium late because players don't eat during the game. So they left the game. They had to like do all this media stuff. They went to the locker room. They had food, but like they are not going to stop to eat food instead of a going party because they just freaking win. The freaking won the NWSL championship. So they want to celebrate that. So they have like a very small amount of time that they can do all of that before they have to leave the stadium. So they're just all like just chugging the beers. And then they were already late from the locker room, and then going to that after party, they were even more late. So when I got there, everyone was freaking crazy. I was like, holy, I couldn't even walk. I was literally trying to take pictures. I was like, there's too many people in this space that, like, I don't know, fits like 7 people. That was like 200 something. I'm like, how did this, like, how many people are here? Why are there many people here? And why these people are here? They're not supposed to be here because it's supposed to be just players and family kind of thing. So we literally left like after 15 minutes, and I know they left too, and they went to after club. That's where the all-around players went and all of these other people.
Word. Okay. Hey, shout out to DJ Purple Lettuce. That's a homie who was DJing. Sills, any other thoughts post game?
I mean, I didn't really have a lot of time to ruminate. We had to go cover the mix zone. So, you'll hear some of that,
later.
Yeah. No, I will say it really sucks to have to cover, post game, like in that moment. But we did it and it was good. And I was genuinely happy for the Gotham players. There's many that I like. Many of them came directly up to us. The entire mix zone is chaotic anyway.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah. And seeing, you know, listen, like seeing Rose and Luke cry was not super easy.
Yeah, that's not nice. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Like that wasn't fun. But it's a job. So first and foremost, I'm there to do a job. And I was working for Shea Butter, obviously, but I was also working for Ride of the Valkyrie. Shout out to my team. I was the only one there, so I had to go get all of that stuff. So it, like I said, it's my favorite sport, and sometimes it loves you and sometimes it doesn't, and just didn't go our way on Saturday. So but it's a good game, it's an entertaining game. I'm proud of my team, and one day I'll be on the other side. Like, it is what it is.
Yes. And you'll get to hold the Tiffany trophy. How was that Tiffany trophy? Because I had seen it during the media day, and shout out to Kev. He couldn't touch it. But how was the trophy?
I mean, by the time I was able to touch that thing, it was freaking wet of beer. So, because the players were, like, dropping beer, drinking from the trophy. But, I mean, it was a beautiful trophy. I feel like they did a really better job than they did the years before. In comparison of last year, like, this trophy is, like, amazing. It's very shiny, not as heavy. So it was a very bittersweet moment to, like, be able to do that.
Word. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. You're actually going to hear a bunch of different interviews from Media Day. Didn't get there in time, but to cover All Rain, but you'll hear a bunch of interviews later. But we're going to hear from Media Day, from a variety of people, media people like Kev, Tamara, but then also we're also going to hear from various players that are part of Gotham. Be back.
Go Bats.
Okay. Wow. And hello. How are you doing? How are you doing, Kev? What's good, dog?
Hey, man, I'm doing great here at NWSL Championship Weekend 2023. Gotham, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC versus OL Reign.
Bruh. And what are you doing today? What you doing?
I am the gatekeeper for our trophy here.
Oh, what trophy? Oh, the Tiffany trophy?
Yes, the NWSL.
Can I touch the trophy?
Absolutely not.
See? Word. So, okay. So you out here, you making sure people don't touch the trophy?
Yeah. Bodyguard, you know, top flight security of the world, Craig. Of the world.
Word. All right. So how you like it? How you been here all day? I just got into town, so how is it?
It's been cool, you know, laid back. When I first got here earlier, like 12:30, they was doing like the whole like I guess you can call it like a panel with the NWSL and all the partners for the broadcast deal. That was smooth. And then they went right into, like, you know, the team's media day. So it's been chill, you know, laid back. The media is getting all the content they need. So that's the most important, you know.
Okay, word. Well, I appreciate you, bro.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. Shout out to Shea Butter FC and my dogs. Love y'all. Keep doing your thing.
Hey, man, so y'all heard it here first. The greatness, the legend. Kevin, you ain't gonna say yo. I thought you was gonna do make some shout out to your little frat.
Oh, root to the bruhs.
What?
Founders Day is coming up.
Okay. What?
Friday, November 17th, 2023. And if you don't know, we were founded on a Friday,
okay.
November 17th, 1911. On the campus of Howard University, 3 undergraduate students and 1 faculty advisor. Don't get it twisted, all right? Root to the bruhs.
You got you okay? So you just took over and decided to give a whole special announcement. Yeah, a history lesson. You got it. You want to promote? Do you want to promote?
Three Hounds of ICU. All right. Fall 10. All right. Q-versary is on Monday.
Okay.
All right. You know what I mean? Thank you. You know, turn 20. Look, man, listen.
Veteran in the game.
It's been a long road. It's been a long time coming, but I know. Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
I was like, you also want to advertise an event? You got the chance to.
Monday, come check us out at Mama Shelter. All right, me and my LBs will be out there.
Line brothers.
Yes, my line brothers. It's only two other ones. All right, it's only three of us. We're going to be out there. Mama Shelter in Hollywood, rooftop. Come check us out. Buy us a drink, bro.
Word. And that, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
You talked about the coaching staff and how much they've contributed. Could you talk about those new players, all the new personnel that got brought in? What have they all contributed to that bounce from bottom to championship?
There's a lot of players. I mean, I think the first person that comes to mind is Jenna. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Yael in preseason about rookies, and she goes, oh, I think Jenna could be really impactful this year. I said, oh, okay, cool. You never know. I don't know who this girl is. but then she subbed into the LA game because Krieger went down and I was on the left wing. And I had not seen her play a lot of left back. And I said, oh my God, here we go. And since then, she just took the league by storm. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. I keep going back to our coaching staff. I think our coaching staff has really created an environment that allows personalities to be great, allows individuals to be great within this system that still prioritizes the team first. And I think that's a really special thing that they've accomplished.
I just want to ask, are you still into Settlers of Catan?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I wanted to tell you about this new style of Settlers of Catan that my friends play called Satan.
Wow.
Yo, it's made to be like ultra competitive, ultra fast paced.
Okay.
It speeds it up. And the concept is you don't have to wait for someone to complete all the actions of their turn before the next person takes their turn.
Wow, it's like soccer.
Anybody can trade at any time. You're still taking turns rolling the dice. But the moment someone rolls the dice and you all grab your resources, anybody can do any action. You can all trade. You can build a city. You can build a road.
Okay.
And if someone's taking too long, everyone's allowed to chant dice.
Okay.
At the next person. Does that appeal to you?
Could we rebrand the name? With the rebrand, I can comfortably say yes.
We could just call it like Speed Guitar.
Speed. Yes. Speed Guitar. Sounds great to me. I would gladly.
You call it like Fastest Road or something.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Okay. It's definitely like there's no more 2-hour Catan games. It came.
Taylor Smith brought it.
It takes 20 minutes.
Incredible. Yeah, we have it.
That's fantastic. So I'm just wondering, maybe you guys should try.
So it's the same speed. Board. It's
same
just
board, same
rules.
Process. You obviously you still roll, but the moment you roll, anybody can do any of the actions that they want. Build a road, buy cars.
A true free
train.
Market.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess in the theme of another non-soccer question, I've been going around your teammates, and they haven't been disappointed. They've been delivering on this question. It's a much different vibe from the rain, because I also give it to a lot of rain players. Because one of the storylines coming into this one is a lot about Allie Krieger, Krieger Rapino. I've been out here in the social media streets and on the tech and fair talking about Y2K championship.
Dang, man.
The championship for the 99-2000s, you know.
Hey.
So I've been asking, you can give me a Y2K or Elder Millennial GM of your choice to either dedicate to Allie Krieger or to take with you to the final.
Pimp by by 50 Cent.
One person is giving me 50. Thank
you. Yo, that's what's up.
I got double Missy Elliott cuts from Katie and Mandy.
Okay.
Allie straight up was like Cisco Thompson.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So Gotham.
Somebody take the wine glass away from that
Gotham
girl.
Thank you.
That's wild.
Thank you. No, she would change her answer to Pimp if she thought of it.
All right, but while we talking about songs, what is a song that you wait, you got like a playlist for this championship game?
Kinda. I have a playlist. Yes. What's
it looking like?
I have a lot of Meek on it.
Okay.
My team doesn't like to listen to the same music. I like this.
Be real with it.
We'll keep it real. Yeah. This is for Shea Butter FC, for the people. So.
Be real.
Yeah, so keep it. Let us know. People.
I've been listening to Championships by Meek a lot.
Okay.
That one's been.
Okay.
Yeah. And should we win, that will be the song I play over and over again.
That's what's up. That's what's up. There was one other community question. So, do you think staying on the West Coast helped y'all in terms of, like, playing in the semifinal game?
For sure.
Yeah. And do you think even for the game coming up, like, you're staying, you don't have to go back and forth to the East Coast?
Absolutely. That was a point of discussion amongst our coaching staff, and they really brought in a lot of the internationals and the older players to inform that decision, which I loved. And everyone was like, no, we don't want to go back and forth. Portland's like such a cool city. We love to be there. San Diego's sick. Why would we want to leave the beach? And they listened to us. So it's been really good. And I think while, you know, pros and cons of being on the road a long time, like we're professionals and it's worth being on the road for a long time.
Okay. And then one last question. You got a fit?
I don't. I got team issued gear.
Okay. That's right. If you had a fit though, what would it be?
I don't know. I might break it out as soon as I get home.
Okay.
It's going to be like a winter New York thing.
Is it going to be some Tums?
Black Tums.
Okay. All right.
Chaotic neutral. Black Tums, chaotic.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I do have a soccer question. I'm sorry.
Oh, I want to hear this.
It's not a good one. It's like probably one that you've answered a million times. But going into this final, just based on the play that we've seen from Gotham this season, the team has shown that they can be a very organized unit. Going into this final, is that something that you're looking at as an advantage for you and this team going up against a ranked side that has kind of tried to show that they can change things up and also be an organized unit themselves?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an advantage, but it's definitely a strength. I think that because of our coaching staff, we are one of the most defensively organized teams in the league. We're really disciplined, and that goes not just for the 11 that start, but for everyone who sees the pitch, and it's definitely been key to us keeping the ball out of the back of the net.
So I'm Sky from Shea Butter FC. So we got a few community questions. So since y'all have been out here on the West Coast, do y'all think that's preparing y'all for playing in the championship game?
You mean just being on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of flying back and forth.
Yeah, for sure. I think after playing in Seattle, having to go back on the East Coast to Jersey, and then like in the next few days come back to the West Coast would have been terrible on our bodies, terrible on us mentally. So I think this way we still get to stay in that game-focused zone by just, like, staying here, and then we can just keep our schedule rolling.
Right. What about you?
It's felt like a just prolonged business trip. And I think when we packed for this, we knew that we'd be staying if we were going to win, so we all packed for 12 days and not the one trip. So it was kind of like that, well, you just got to commit to it, and we all committed to it and kind of believed that it was going to happen. And now we're just like, well, we're here, we need to win because we're not going to just sit here for, you know, that many days.
So, with Shea Butter FC, we got some cultural kind of vibes. So, for music, what are you listening to prepare for the championship game?
My Spanish coach real like this, but I listen to Pitbull Radio.
Hey. Let's go, Katie. Wait. So, what's your favorite song?
Echapala. I can't say it right. I can't say Spanish at all.
Okay.
But I can hear it in my head.
Yep.
But I get excited with that one. I just like Latino music because I don't understand what they're saying, but I like the beat to the song, and so it kind of gets me excited.
Word.
That's Yeah.
All right, Mandy.
What you got? Like to listen to some Sada Baby, some DDG.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's something just like, yeah, I just like to get fired up. And hip hop rap does that for me.
All right, all right. So, like, do y'all have any fits for the game? I know you probably got to wear your mandate. But do y'all got, like, if you had a tunnel fit?
Oh, she's got many tunnel
fits. What you rocking?
Since it's a business trip and we're about to get down to business, probably something a suit related.
Okay.
You know, nice, but like an unexpected suit.
She raw Buffalo Exchange blinds.
I did. I've been doing some good vintage shopping while being on the West Coast.
Okay.
She'd be ready if we were allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you?
I'd wear something boring. Very boring. Probably leggings and a t-shirt.
Yeah, keep it classy.
But, you know, I would also wear jeans or something I could wear to dinner afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I'm not fun.
All right, so then what are y'all looking forward to? Are you, like, super, like, anxious for the game, or are you just like ready to go? Y'all ready to play like right now?
Yes. I think we're ready to go. I think we've been prepping all year long with the mentality that this is where we were going to be. So at this point, we're just waiting for the ref to blow the start whistle and get after it.
Word. Oh, I do have one more question. So if y'all could have some music at the games, in the stands, from the fans. Mm-hmm. What kind of song would you, what would be your, you had a bomb goal. Like, what would be a theme song for your goal celebration?
Oh, you know Nicki Minaj, I'm the best?
Mm. Okay.
Something like that. Very cocky. Mm-hmm. But you can't be mad because she's saying it, not me.
Yeah.
Okay. Even for Bricks, Shea Butter Bricks, those are stops. Mm. What you got?
You have to go cocky in those moments, you know? You gotta back yourself. Honestly, Nicki Minaj is not bad. I want to go for like some Nicki or I'm trying to think of who's in my recent plays. Some Sexy Red.
Wait, you don't, oh yeah, put her on. No.
Yep. Some ski in that.
Yeah.
Song. You guys play that all the time.
Yeah. I gotta be careful. Don't want a certain organization getting mad. But yeah. Yeah, okay, that's what's up. Well, thank you, Katie. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So what I've been asking your teammates, and a lot of them have been delivering on this question, is about music. So what's your Y2K jam or anthem or elder millennial song that you might want to carry into the final, take you into the final?
Even dedicated to Ellie Krieger, if you want,
like a song. Yeah.
Like any song in the world.
Yeah. You gotta keep it on brand with like
a millennial
area, early 2000s hit. Your teammates have delivered. I'll give you some samples.
Yeah.
Mandy and Katie gave me dual Miss Elliott cuts. Ellie Krieger straight up said like thong song, Chris is like Cisco.
So I'm like not a good music person like this.
I just don't know the names.
What the video look like?
I don't know.
What's the lyrics or recording?
So many.
Well, and like Ally Krieger like represents.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like Ellie Jean gave me like
something like badass. Like very like
Midge gave P.I.M.P.
Yes,
by 50 Cent.
She gave me 50%.
Yes. Maybe some lip gloss, Lil Mama.
Okay, wow, okay.
How about 50 Cent?
Okay, what song? What song?
Yeah, in the club.
Okay.
Perfect. Right?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Wait, while we on the, when we talk about songs, do y'all have a song, a playlist in preparation for the championship game?
Just honestly, any rap, hip hop, like, I don't know, just a range of like,
first song that comes to your hip mind. Okay.
I don't know. every day, every game is different as far as like how it starts. I just know I need something that's going
to. We've been listening to a lot of Spanish music too because we have two Spanish girls on our team now.
Okay.
I don't know the names of these songs. But
can you sing? Can you karaoke a little bit?
No.
Oh, okay.
I cannot.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. We got to wrap
up. Okay. Oh, well, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Sorry.
We're
not good music people.
I was gonna ask for, I want Tamara's championship song of the week.
Championship song of the week?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like a song. If you're, to win your championship game, if you were playing Saturday.
Like what I'm listening to
before
I play?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I am completely at the mercy of Tyla. Water.
Yeah, it's fire.
Still, because I was kind of late to the trend, I think. But that song.
Wow.
But it kind of fits because these are two coastal teams, Seattle, New York, New Jersey. So, you know, they're near water. They're going to be sweating.
Wow.
In the chorus, she says, I know she's not talking about sweating from playing soccer. I'm just trying to fit. I'm trying to make a fit.
Right.
But it's such a fun song. And for me, like, the songs that get me in the mood, like, for a game are songs that make me want to dance.
Okay.
So it's definitely, and I don't, like, in the music video, they, like, pour the water down their backs, which players do when they're hot.
Right.
I see you out here with the, okay.
Look, that was a beautiful water. Sink right there. You know what my song would be?
Yeah, what's your song? I didn't ask you your song. Oops.
My song would be Tupac, Hail Mary.
Oh, that's a good one.
First of all,
Kobe used to listen to, what's his name? Freddy Krueger theme song before a game.
Wow.
You never heard that? Or Freddy Krueger, Jason?
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm listening to Tupac, Hail Mary. I need that.
Hail Mary.
Come with me. Yeah, I need
that. Yeah, when he come through, when he come walking up on you.
Listen, I need that, and I need him on the big screen in the hologram.
Yeah.
When we come out, we coming out to Hail Mary for warm-ups with Tupac on the hologram performing it. Tell me that ain't dope.
Wow.
That's doing a lot.
That
is dope.
That's what you call game presentation.
And that is,
I would want Hearts of Men. If I was going to do Tupac, I want Hearts of Men.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that beat. That beat gets you going.
Yeah.
You
know, then we throwing up. You ain't going to throw. We ain't throwing up. We throwing up.
You know, he started talking trash.
That's my song. But wait. What's your championship fit, though?
So, I missed my proper summer because I was in Australia. So, I've really been leaning into, like, the summer beachy kind of island vibes.
Oh, yeah, you were in Australia.
Yeah. And it was winter there. Yeah. So I have a lot of bright things. I have I'll probably do like another printed button down.
Okay. It's going to be hot as hell tomorrow.
Is it? Oh yeah, and you were saying how hot it is, especially at the stadium.
It's going to be hot tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
I did bring a pair of sandals.
Yeah. It's going to be hot. At the surf.
Okay. We're in the right city for this.
Wait. So are you going to wear, what would you wear?
What would I wear?
You going to wear your gold boots?
Nah, I can't do them like that.
See, I have the luxury.
I don't know. I don't know. It's surfing. It's in Del Mar. It's going to be, we got a canopy. It's like straight up in the open. It's in the open sun. We're going to cook. We got a canopy, though. We got a canopy, though. Shea Butter has a canopy. We will be good.
All right, bang, right?
What you rocking? That's your song?
No, you asked the suit.
Oh, okay, my bad. Oh, what color?
I'm coming in looking like Pina. Suit, glasses, hold on. What you doing? I love it. Kevin for president. Talk to me, man. I'm coming in right. I'm coming in with the suit on, Tom Ford, you know what I mean?
I'm going to go grab my backpack.
Stacey Adams.
Wow.
On the feet.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
I'm gonna throw it back like that. And I ain't talking about the alligator skin. I'm talking about the traditional round. this is why you need me on your podcast. I'm gonna really have you out there. You know what I'm saying? It's really gonna be a good time.
I imagine you had to come correct it, like, say, not the alligator.
Listen, when you say Stacey Adams, you gotta be
specific. I had to say Stacey Adams. Ask him Stacey Adams, listen, and I was slipping and sliding and flying across the.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, that's how you gotta be. Do a little kind of slide.
Yeah, and he gonna still slide across the floor.
And that's fine.
That's why you need a. That's why they need canes, because you be slipping and sliding, and then you gotta.
We don't like canes.
Oh, my bad.
Nah. We don't need no music.
Wow.
And we don't need no canes. We don't need no goddamn. We don't need no tie-dye train to be in Omega.
Oh, God.
Break it down now. We don't need no.
I'm into this. I'm into this. Now we're back. All right. So, for our rants and raves this week, we're going to look at the, briefly, look at the weekend that included various things. So, I don't know where we're going to start. This is going to be quick. So, there was a DEI summit. That, I don't know. What do we call this? It was like a morning situation where there were different panels. And selected people were included and then media. But it was kind of weird because at the same time, well, a few hours, about an hour into it, there was a start of the team's training. So a bunch of people who should have been there didn't show up. But there were more invites this time. So you had a bunch of players. You had a variety of people. Me and Sills went. Lil Sis Kaya was there. McCullough. We saw players like Messiah Bright. Michelle Lozier. And a variety of people across the league were there. And so, I guess, let's talk about it. So, let's hit the bad first. So, it was a DEI summit. However, the MC for said summit was a white woman. So that kind of was a signal that this might not go the way we expect. I don't want to say she was a mother to a son, but that came kind of gave off the vibe.
She was absolutely a mother to a son.
Yeah, she was a mother to a son to play soccer. But I had maybe a little bit of hope because she was an investigative reporter, so maybe. But the first panel kind of went off the rails. So it included young woman, and I don't have the title.
Nayeli's her first name. I can't remember her last name.
Nayeli. She plays in downtown. She's now a coach for the downtown LA soccer club. Her coach, Mick, who runs the program, was her coach. The guy from Access U, his name's Brad, which is a program geared towards trying to reach out to underserved communities and get them connected to soccer and then connect them to college. And then Tatiana, can't remember her last name. She is the chief, the head of the sports? What is it?
Sporting, yeah, like head of sporting for the NWSL.
Yeah, for the NWSL. And so in this panel, it was supposed to be discussing, you know, how to improve access and why it's important. But it kind of became a, how it was set up, it kind of became like a trauma porn situation where you were talking about what was going on. Where you had Nayeli talk about her life and not being able to play soccer and the struggle of it. And then while there was good intention from the two white guys, like then talking about how to connect back to communities. But it was moving in a way that wasn't, in, you know, attentive to her and her experiences in a sense. And it kind of was madly triggering. I know I broke down crying. Cause like, I didn't expect that. And then I was highly frustrated. I would never want to get put in a situation like that. And then there was a struggle even talking about what's going on with soccer to talk about racism. And we're at a DEI summit, right? Because a big part of how Nayeli, who was a phenomenal soccer player, did not get scouted, you know, highlighting the point that scouts aren't going everywhere. There's limitations. The system is messed up. The pay for play is destroying everything. You still had huge issues in terms of like actually making a safe space for her to exist and not be madly triggered, not only for her, but the whole audience. But then also it was kind of like really disjointed. And again, we're in a DEI summit. And so we're talking about issues from a system standpoint instead of also a human standpoint. And it was a problem. I don't know. What about you, Sills? What do you think?
I mean, you basically. I mean, we've done some things well. There's a lot we can improve on. And I'm here for opening spaces where we can have these conversations. I would like to see the league be a lot more intentional about who's having these conversations.
Yes.
And like the power dynamics on a stage, it was that she was the only person of color, the only woman of color, and she was by far the youngest and the least experienced on that stage.
Right.
Like every single box you check, she was at the bottom of the pecking order on that. And so that's more so why I think it felt like that. And they were definitely, and I don't know if it was the journalist in her or whatever, but like they kind of kept going back to the well on that, and it just got more uncomfortable in my opinion. And for me, right. I can't speak for everybody there. As that panel went along and like they have to fill this 50 minutes. I think there were some good points made about the system. I also think we can absolutely look to like leagues in Europe and others and take some of the really good things from them. And also I'm really here for, we need to deal with the things that are uniquely American about our soccer and our leagues, our youth system, everything else. We're not another country, we're us. We're bigger right. than most of these other countries, et cetera, et cetera. So, and our biases are uniquely ours, right? Not necessarily in a broad sense, but in terms of how they play out in this country. I agree that whole first panel, nobody said the word racism at all. But that was one panel. There were two more to come. So then we had the second panel, which I think spoke to like diverse voices.
Yes.
I can't remember the exact title of it. But that panel, for all the lack of diversity you had in the first one, they seemed to pile it all into the second panel. It was Michelle Lozier, the player. And then it was Coach Yolanda Thomas, assistant coach for the Orlando Pride. It was Karina LeBlanc, who is the GM for the Portland Thorns. And it was Megan Burke, the head of the executive director of the Players Association for the NWSL. Mm-hmm. That conversation got pretty lively pretty quickly. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, you had three Black women on stage who all are very smart, very capable, very talented, and none of them are shy. So they were very much able to command that panel. Like, obviously the moderator, still the moderator, but they are all very sure of themselves. Obviously I'm a Yolanda Thomas fan now, not that I wasn't before, but just fantastic. Like, and I feel like she was holding back, and I understand that because she has to go to work and she has children. But honestly, the person who really impressed me, and I don't know if it's the setting or she's out of place in her life and particularly dealing with that Portland team, but like Karina LeBlanc was dropping some bombs. Like,
yeah.
That I didn't, up until that point, I did not know those were things she would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very pleasantly surprised that she did. And then of course Megan Burke's always really good at like knowing her place in a dynamic and knowing when to leave space, when to speak, you know, that kind of thing. There was a question from the moderator. I don't know intent, but I know it was said. And I think it was phrased as like, what are the negatives to diversity? Something along those lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Megan handled it really well. She was like, there are none. Like, and I mean, again, I don't know if it's nerves. Like, I don't know. And I also think this would be why not only should you have someone of color
right.
moderating, but also someone in the soccer space moderating. Like, there is just, right. I'm trying to be in a space in my life where I give people the benefit of the doubt. It's not necessarily what I think, but I'm trying all hard. Right. And she doesn't have the language to have that conversation, but that's a wild thing to say at a DEI summit. Like, right, that's a right. wild thing to say at a DEI summit when you're trying to get buy-in from your stakeholders right. or whoever else you're trying to let Black and brown people in this space know that it could be a little safer. That doesn't really make it feel like it. But overall, I thought that that was probably the best panel of the day.
Right.
I was gonna say
it was a really good panel, and because they really got into the point. Because keep in mind, Yolanda Thomas is a coach, and then LeBlanc is a Karina is a GM. You had Michelle, who's a player. It was really getting into the crux of it can't be performative. Like, you can't have diversity for a checkbox. You have to empower people. You can't have people in the coaching position, the GM position, and you genuinely don't give them the freedom to be themselves and do what you need to do. Not micromanage. It can't be performative. You got to give them power to do things. And, you know, over the weekend, I had even witnessed things where it was totally not that, you know, where people weren't necessarily empowered. Or over the course of the season, we've witnessed things where you haven't had that. But it really hit home that it can't be for play diversity. So Yolanda and Karina in particular gave some sermons. And even in the case of Michelle, she talked about being Nigerian American. You know, it can't be you checking the box to get a black person on your team and then you half-ass recruiting, you know, and not scouting. So that was an incredible panel. And also shout out to Megan because she showed you how to be an ally, how to give space and how to actually guide the conversation. So a lot of those foolish questions went out the window. And she gave the space also and threw it back to the black woman to be able to talk through and, you know, give sermons. So, but yeah.
Yeah. And then we got a break after and we got to, you know, chat it up. I got to see one of my former students. So we took a break. We came back in the middle of the third panel was about like partners and what does it mean like ally and be an ally and invest and all of these other things. And it was a good panel, obviously. More like business speak, marketing, community aspects, that kind of things being discussed, but I think still really informative, pretty decent panel, solid panel in terms of just slightly more diverse bodies. I think that panel had the most women on it. And people from different areas of that, you know, of that world. I thought that there was a lot. They probably could have gone a little longer, but a really good panel. And then they wrapped it up. Like it stayed on time.
The only thing I would have said, I would have liked there to have been like some interactive sessions. So that's why I said definitely do that on a separate day, do a full panel, so that people can actually do breakout sessions. That's what it was like last year, and those were really good. And also I would say get you a black person to man your panel. There's a person by the name of Nicole Hercules who would be incredible to be the MC of the panel in the future. You know,
there's plenty of people in the space like that.
There's plenty.
There's too many people of color in the space for that to be a thing in 2023. Like, it's a DEI summit. I need us to be intentional, not just going through the motions. I want to believe you when you say you're trying. And again, I don't think there's no effort. I don't think we haven't done anything better. But like, that's the kind of stuff where. Who's at the table, who's having those conversations, and that was discussed at the panel. Like, who is at the table, who isn't at the table? You've got to be intentional about looking up and seeing who's not there and whose point of view is not being expressed. So there's still work to be done.
All right. So briefly, skills challenge, you will hear in depth in another part 2 episode. That was wild.
My favorite part of the weekend.
We keep it short, but it was in Del Mar. A suggestion. Yeah. Definitely keep it more. Yeah, it's surf park.
Complex surf park, yeah.
But definitely keep it. I would always consider anything you're doing like a skills challenge and you got multiple things going on today. Keep in mind the distance because that was far away. But it was pretty dope to see what is going to be the thing for the skills challenge. Some interesting games. It was tech ball. What else? It was goalkeeper. What is that? Was it a war challenge? Shot challenge? What was that?
So there were three. The first one was like 1v1.
Yeah.
Keepers versus field players, which everybody asked because there were three goalkeepers listed. Didi Harisic was a field player.
Yes.
So that was the first competition. You got one duel. If you scored your first two, you won. If you missed one of your first two, you got a third. So you basically try to see if you get 2 out of 3 against the goalkeeper. The second one was tech ball, which is basically ping pong volleyball with a soccer ball. And then the third was the crossbar challenge. We started when the sun was up. We finished when the sun was down. So I like, and like the sun goes down early, so that's part of it. But I also think, yeah, you definitely need to have it somewhere where there are lights so people can film. I would work out the kinks so you can air it, because I think it has the potential to be an amazing event. To me, it was my favorite part of the weekend, despite like very loose organization of both the rules and the event itself. It was their first time. I get that. You're working out the kinks. What I think they nailed is the players they picked. They got some of the best personalities in this league. And at different levels of sort of stardom, like you have like Crystal Dawn superstar player there, right? International players, like, you know, I guess technically Michelle Lozier plays international football, but it's from the US. And you had Denise O'Sullivan. You had Lola Ponta, you had Messiah Bright as a rookie, you had Hawking as well. Like, they did a really good job of mixing it up. And then, of course, East versus West. And yeah, it was just very funny watching these uber talented people struggle with like tech ball.
Also, I will say for
Katie Lund, really good at tech ball. Okay.
Yes. One point that I will say for tech ball, I know the concept of having a smaller table for practice, but if you're going to air this, make it a bigger table so it is easier to air. I did see the highlight reel that was in the media thing. It would be so much easier to air if you make a bigger table, put more people, like literally, so that everybody can see it. And then also, yeah, definitely go through and practice the different things. And there's stuff from MLS you can borrow, because like, yeah, we was out there a long time. It was a long, long time. Making some little changes, but clean it up. Go ahead.
I feel like for next year, they might do like some changes. I feel like this year was more like trying and testing if everything was going to work out. And I feel like they had a pretty good response to that, and they might improve. And I hope they do, because I feel like everyone was very interesting. And even the players, like, it's something fun. It's something different for like just having the final and getting like engaged and like the fans engaged during the whole weekend instead of just going for the finals.
Right.
Absolutely. And it's a really good way, like the interaction between those players and those fans as you're trying to grow this league. As I know we're going to talk about the TV deal probably in news, but like as you're growing this league, that's the kind of stuff that's real easy to build lifelong fandom from young and old, like not just kids, but like there were adults who were like, oh, let me get into this. Right. It was just fun. We need fun.
It's also something that's like as long as a game. So then you can see like younger kids that will understand, and like the players, they're taking this as like a fun activity, not as like competitive as like a final game. So then you have like them being more like fun out of their like athletic self kind of bubble thing, and like really interacting with the community, interacting with the fans, interacting with the other players that the in a way they would never would instead of like a normal game. I feel like that was something that is gonna probably bring back next year even more, or like doing other stuff very similar to this.
So I will say this, it definitely needs to come back next year, but always keep in mind, as you do with the All-Star game and any other sport, do not make it with the sole focus of marketing to kids. Make this marketable for adults. Also,
yeah, definitely.
You will hear in a interview we did with Lola Bonta why but honestly I don't want this to be taken from a kid's angle, because you don't do that for any other All-Star skills challenge in any other league, including MLS. And so it needs to be for adults and kids kind of vibe, so that players can be themselves, so they can wild out within reason. But so it doesn't become like a little, I don't want it to become like a kiddie festival. And the only reason I say that is because with women's sports, it's like they said this on that second panel. Like, it's like y'all get into women's sports and y'all just totally forget how to be business sound and logic. Like, you wouldn't do that for a professional product, so don't do that. And also for sure, like get, you know, embrace the personalities, embrace the diversity. Yo, like it was dope. It was fun. And as y'all will actually hear a lot of that, because we caught audio in interviews. To keep it moving, FanFest. So this year, it was a little different from what we saw in DC. It was a little bit more spread out. It was, if you've been to Snapdragon, it was in that grassy area by the stadium. And so they had a soundstage, then they had different booths from different sponsors set up, and then people had free stuff. It was cool seeing people walking around. They did have a beer garden, all that stuff. I would say a critique, you know, it's a fan fest. It felt kind of corporate-y. I work in corporate America, so it flashed me back to going to a conference versus a fan fest. And I'll say this as, I'm just keeping it, but we keeping it real. We try to have activation. We were told it was already planned out, but we easily, and other entities could have had booths to build community. Because again, this is a fan fest. And this was people's first games to a soccer game, period. You had a lot of people who, they were like, oh, yes, it's the San Diego Wave exists, but they had never been to a game. Or they've never been to a soccer game. So that was an opportunity to connect. A lot of people were standing in lines. The music wasn't always bumping. And so I say this as the league is trying to grow and get money. You can't forget you are still soccer, and soccer is based in community, not in money. If you do not remember that, you are not going to get the notoriety and understanding and build the fan bases that you want. So that's just my thing on that. Additionally, and particularly because if you had tailgates and stuff that were so far off in the parking lot, I mean, there was a disconnect of missing, connecting back. But it was cool to see different people. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was a single thing that wasn't sponsored. There, in terms of like the booths, tents, whatever. I mean, it was cool. There were players doing autographs and some challenge stuff and things like that. So they did get out. And they were able to meet with fans. The players put in work this weekend. Like, they earned their checks. It was okay. I think there was more to do in some ways this fan fest, but also, yeah, it didn't feel necessarily inclusive of all fans. I think, like I said, just really corporate. You know, people were able to pick and choose. They kind of had to stand in line. It was only, 2.5 hours, really.
Right.
So they wouldn't have been able to go to everything if they were trying to get autographs or watch the pregame or anything like that. I think as we continue to air this in prime time, and we now know that for the next 4 years that'll be the case, hopefully they'll continue to get better and better about who is included in these things and who isn't. But overall, not bad. I mean, we were able to wander around and have some really good chats with fans and stuff. But yeah,
you'll hear us. Yeah,
more to do.
Oh, sorry. So, what would y'all like to see for next year? For the next NWCL championship situation.
Depends on where it is.
Where would y'all like to fuck this? Where would y'all like to see this game next year?
I mean, my assumption is Kansas City. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I feel like it might be there.
But I also feel like the league is very obsessed with numbers, and that is not a big stadium.
So where would you like to see it?
I feel, for me at least, I feel like it needs to be in a neutral place.
Yeah, same.
Let's go.
I feel like...
So where?
I don't know, man. Like, what is a big stadium?
When's that Miami Stadium open?
Ooh. No, it's not happening right now.
Not next year.
No.
Maybe like Austin, somewhere like that. Okay. Like... stadium
or Atlanta. Fuck this shit. Atlanta, Georgia. Give me Atlanta.
I like Nashville. Yeah, I like I like that stadium a lot. So maybe like Nashville. Yeah. Somewhere where a team's probably trying to get a team.
Yeah, be like a place that's no team, because that's neutral. And then people like flying for like everywhere instead of like a place there's already a team on it.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, if it did have to stay in league, I know y'all hate the West Coast, I would give a shout to the Bay Area somewhere. Not necessarily.
No, I think they'll move it to the East or the Midwest. I think it'll be in the West
because the draft is going to be there too. And they just had it.
Yeah. So they try to mix it.
They normally the
okay, fine, fine. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well,
or Texas. Like, that's sort of my assumption.
I
wouldn't mind in being like New York. They have a fucking ass big stadium. And why not?
I mean, the thing we're also going to consider is this game is probably going to be like December 3rd.
That's also true. But like, I mean, considering global warming, it's not that fucking cold right now. That cold that a player will die.
I don't know if the players agree with that.
You'll be fine.
That's why I'm like, I think like a Texas, like somewhere neutral, like in Austin.
Nashville, Austin, over there.
Yeah, somewhere like that makes a lot of sense where it's not going to be too cold. It's not quote unquote advantageous for any team in the NWSL. And in theory, you can know ahead of time where it's going to be. Like, we can maybe plan these out a few years in advance. Yeah. That's
right. And you also think, like, attract new fans and new, probably, like, a team for the place that they might try to navigate it. Yeah.
That's smart. That's smart. Well, all right. So, before we end, let's get into hits and riffs of the week. It is championship week, or it's coping week. Pick your song, your championship or coping song for your hits and riffs this week.
Okay, so for me, the only song that is coming to my mind is just because that song was playing No Freaking Stop on the locker room is All I Do Is Win.
Oh my God. No, Georgia.
Can't help it. They were playing this song No Freaking Stop for like hours. So in my head, all I can think is that song.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry.
It's not my pick, but like it is what is in my head right now.
Yeah. I don't need a coping side. Coping is weird. I'm good. My pick is in honor of Ellie Krieger because it was her pick, Hot in Here by Nelly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll give a shout to a song. Well, yeah, Midge referenced P.I.M.P. for Ellie. Yes. You'll hear it just in the interview.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, Yasmin Ryan hit the squabble. Look, I wish I could have recorded that.
Yeah, we didn't tape it.
Yeah, but she hit the squabble in the thing. Because keep in mind, she got two of them things. Two of them rings.
Back to back, yeah.
Back to back.
Her and Abby Smith, back to back.
Back to back, queens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the one. Whatever squabble song
is. Ollie got her ship, and she can retire in peace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you are an Ollie Krieger fan. So, that is
dope. Yes. Yeah,
aren't most people?
Yeah, I am too. But I'm just saying, I know. Yeah. I mean, that's how me and Georgia connected initially.
Yeah,
way back when. Love of Soccer.
Yeah,
because I too supported
that was the
Orlando Pride. Also,
but I mean, also like also like for me, like following this team.
Yeah.
Since 2021, like going from literally shit to like this is just like amazing.
They were good in 2021, though. They went to the playoffs.
No, they're not. They were like balling too.
No, last year they were. The year before they went to the playoffs and like the Challenge Cup final.
No, that was in 2020.
That was before Didasco left.
Didasco left last year.
Yeah, it was two. So 2 years ago, as I'm saying, they weren't asked 2 years ago. They were pretty good.
Yeah, but like for 2021, they were not. They were like mid of the table. Though they were not. They didn't make playoffs. Nothing like that.
No.
When did they? Like,
Yeah. They were. Like, yeah.
The year they were like good was 2020 when they went to the bubble.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, so let's get some raves. We got any raves? We gonna shout some people out.
I mean. Just shout out to my housemates. I wish I had been able to spend more time this weekend, but we were getting pulled in all directions. They were very understanding that I was literally covering this for two different outlets or media entities. So, but shout out to them just for being supportive, like being my people. I truly appreciate it because not everybody has that in this space. Shout out to the league because for the most part I definitely think there's some areas where I'm like, oh, it's gonna be a rough first year, but shout out to the league for the media deal that they signed this past weekend. So the CBS deal expired as of championship day, and so they signed a new 4-year deal, bringing in ESPN, Amazon Prime, CBS still remains on the docket, and ION are the four major channels, both broadcast and streaming services, that will be hosting NWSL games. Somewhere in there is a Friday night game of the week, which I think is an excellent idea. The championship will still be on CBS, as will several playoff games. And a big caveat, well, two big things about that media deal is, one, every team will make roughly $4.3 million a year off of this deal. And it will renew or not renew. Will be up right after the World Cup 2027, which we still don't know where it is. And then the other big thing coming out of the media deal is, I believe starting next year, we are going to an 8-team playoff.
Yes.
Which I called, okay. By the way. You're welcome.
Yeah, no more of that bye week bullshit. Thank God.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I hate a bye week.
I know people hate the media deal, but it gives, you got to understand, again, I keep having to say this, in 2023, people still have no idea what the fuck the NWSL yeah. is. I had that happen to me multiple times in San Diego. They thought it was San My Diego way to play for the ML, the people thought that San Diego Waves plays for an MLS team, or they thought it was a derivative of the national team. And so I say this because it's important for branding, and so that people know that teams are in your city. Even for players, like, people don't know what an NWSL player is if they walked out on the street, where WNBA players, aside from height, they know, oh, they play, this person plays in the WNBA. What team? Maybe not, but they at least, there's a branding thing that's gonna go a long way, similar to like what happened with the WNBA with Ion. So, and then also being on ESPN, just having the shit on the ticker, you know, watching sports and seeing something crazy, even if the name is spelled. Do better, ESPN. You know, you're seeing it on the ticker, and so that's going to be a big deal. Another rave. Shout out to Mitch Purse for balling. Yes. Yes. Williams for balling. They were on a billion. They had that. I had called it out last episode.
She got that email about Emma. She said, "Let me show out real quick."
They was balling. I was so happy for them because I was like, you know, is this is on CBS? We had several people who were like in the basketball world who ain't watched a damn soccer game to say their life. They were like, oh, I like me a Mitch Purse and Lynn Williams. Yeah. And so that is going to go a long way. So I'm excited for them, excited for what's to come. Also, shout out to Emma Hayes.
Emma, I'm a Chelsea fan. I've watched you for a very long time. I cover the women's national team. If you would like to talk to a journalist, I'm available.
Let's go, Emma Hayes. But yeah, Emma Hayes is officially...
I'll check Instagram for you, Emma.
Emma Hayes is officially the U.S. women's national team coach. Everybody turn it up. Give me my Star Spangled Banner t-shirts. Oh. Give me my fits. Give me my... What were you going to say?
Hose Mac.
Hoes mad. Yeah, they all mad. They was mad already.
Jim Connor, appreciate it.
Shout out to Connor. He got the beats. He got the stuff. We are actually gonna go in depth on this in the episode next week. But yes. Shout out to Emma Hayes. Welcome. Come through.
And listen, I spent the better part of almost 3 years of the show shitting on our Fed, and they deserved it. I'm gonna be real with you. They deserved it. I'm gonna applaud them for putting on their big boy and big girl pants. And being serious and doing the damn thing and paying Emma Hayes the money, because that World Cup sucks so bad. They were like, all right, we'll do it. Like, they pulled the trigger. That's what you're supposed to do if you're trying to keep your place in the world. So let's go.
Oh, yeah. And also, shout out to Georgia for taking phenomenal photos and being a boss.
As always. I told you, listen, we told you once that press photo hit, your life would change. And it has.
I know. Thank you guys for having me. Really, you guys do an amazing job. I'm like very proud to be a part of this. Proud of your life. And always have your life back.
And happy for you, truly. Like just happy for your success. Happy you got to see, you know, go through all this with Gotham and see the result. So congrats to you.
Do you have any shout outs?
Thank you.
Georgia.
I already said it. I'm Aquarius. I can't do this stuff, man.
Georgia said, read her Twitter. She did all her stuff.
I've already done this today.
I can't do this again.
Check her Twitter. It's all there. It's all there.
Exactly.
but yeah, Georgia, do you have anything else coming up? Anything dropping?
No, I need a vacation now, please. God, no, thank you. I am like nonstop. I need a break for now.
Okay.
I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
For a minute, at least for like a week or so.
That's
then
good.
Then I can figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Word. All right. So we ain't on break. We actually, this is episode one. There's going to be a part two where you're going to hear about the skills challenge. Then you're going to hear about the post game media, the interviews, fan interviews, all that. And then what's the last one? We got a special fan drop when somebody gets their voice back from a certain supporter group.
Okay.
And it's gonna come in the form of media. That's video, audio. So yeah, it'll hit y'all social medias.
Yeah.
And then what else? Hold on for a second. That's it. So yeah, shout out to the Two Cents fam, all the people, all y'all. It's a lot of y'all. Much love. Shout out to Kaya's. Nice seeing you, sis. Yeah. Shout out to Mama.
Mama Kaya.
Mama almost made me throw him. She was wilding.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I enjoyed her.
We had a fun time. We were out longer than we want to be this weekend.
I'm too old for that. I was like, ooh, never again.
Shout out to all the people we met. You know who you are. Appreciate y'all. We see you. Shout out to the team. Shout out to Ebony, Alex, for being helpful during the weekend. Yeah. Shout out to G Money, being out here taking famous photos, being booked and busy. Shout out to Supercario. Shout out to Maya. Shout out to JG. Shout out to everybody on the street team. Shout out to our sponsors. Hope y'all patrons like some of that audio. Y'all gonna get some more. Just wait. And shout out to our sponsors, Gap House Sports and Carolyn Nettles. And yeah, right. We will be back.
If I forgot anybody, charge it to my head and my heart. but yeah, that's all I got.
We got interviews out the ass. So y'all wanted content, you getting it, baby. Get ready. So what we gonna do? Because we need to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And we're gonna make sure the black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
All right, so go to the bats. It'll get better rain.
Go bats.
And it's off season, so we're ready. Let's get it done. The beaches are crystal clear. Crystal done. Oh, come holla at us God. In LA. Yo, every day. We was getting out the episode. I'll say that. Shout out to Crystal Dunn. Come holla.
Get your pitches ready for Crystal Dunn. Everybody get ready.
Get your pitches ready.
I'm sorry, 13 out of 14 teams.
Whoa. Excuse me. Don't ignore Gotham. Come to the beaches. Come also, home. Alexia. Word of street. Alexia, well, tell us if you need a place to be. We got beaches. Come see us. But anyway, peace. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Wait, shit. Bye? Hey, bye.
Can bye. We get some? I did. I bye.
Okay.
Try